Abbiamo lasciato passare un pochino di tempo in modo tale che i nostri ospiti potessero essere lì ad accordare gli strumenti e a partire con il nostro live di oggi. Ma prima di presentare i nostri ospiti, io presento Giovanni Gandolfi.
Murato.
Non c'entra Murato, Giovanni. No. A parte che i tuoi ospiti ti hanno guardato malissimo in questo momento. No, stiamo parlando di un secret concert. Ricordiamolo. Allora, protagonisti di questo secret concert, per cui vi regaliamo un biglietto, sono, adesso vi spiegheremo come fare, sono due grandi nomi della musica americana, sono dall'altra parte del vetro ed è un piacere averli con noi. Gio Farina e Chris Broco, welcome to Maps, guys. Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
hello.
Thanks.
Hello. You are doing okay?
We're doing well.
Excellent, thank you.
Okay, good trip?
Yep,
so far so good.
Okay. I due ragazzi, mi diceva Giovanni, sono in una specie di interrail. You're doing a kind of interrail, so you're going around by train, enjoying yourself and playing around.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we're totally enjoying ourselves on the train, but...
Well, we tried to enjoy ourselves taking the train in France, but the French train company went on strike and wouldn't let us. But everywhere else has been fine.
Okay. It's strange to talk bad about French train because it seems like you've never been on Italian train, but you've been, actually.
And they've been very nice.
Oh, really? Wow. That's unexpected, totally.
I'm being very friendly and diplomatic.
Oh, I see. Off the record, we can talk more deeply about that.
No, it's been fine. It's been good.
Allora, hanno detto che hanno avuto una brutta esperienza sui treni francesi. Ho detto, beh, che strano, di solito sono i treni italiani quelli che fanno schifo. Ho detto, no, mi sono trovato bene, ma probabilmente è solo questione...
Non sono proprio riusciti a salirci perché era sciopero.
Ah,
però.
Già, c'era lo sciopero generale, hai ragione. Giusto. Beh, i treni italiani, quindi, visto che ci sono saliti, partivano in vantaggio, diciamo. Mettiamola così. Allora, prima di tutto, questo Secret Concert è un concerto al quale possono partecipare quelli che mandano una mail a un indirizzo particolare, che è
info@
Hip Records, direi.
Che si scrive in maniera un po' bizzarra, cioè...
Esatto, un hip.
Sì, UNHIP records.com.
Esatto, però noi vi regaliamo anche un biglietto omaggio se mandate una mail a diretta@radiocittadelcapo.it, perché se mandate una mail a info@niprecords.com avete le informazioni. L'ingresso costa 8 euro e c'è un open bar. Noi sappiamo che Chris Procchio e Gio Farina sono qui per presentare il loro primo disco insieme. You're here to make your first record very known around. It is called The Border's Door.
That's our new record, actually. We have another CD that came out this past April, which is called The Angel's Message.
Ah, yes, I see. So there are two of them.
Yeah.
Okay. And in this, The Angel's Message to Me, che è l'ultimo appunto disco di Chris Brocco e Gio Farina, hanno scelto un repertorio molto particolare, di cui abbiamo parlato in realtà già con Chris, con Gio Farina, la sua passione per la musica classica, la musica delle radici americane. The Angel's Message to Me deals with the American pre-war music. That is something that actually we talked with you, Jeff, when you were here with your band Glory Tellers. So it's a passion that actually goes on. È una passione che continua, quella per la musica dell'anteguerra americano.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's something that I've just kind of dug deeper and deeper into over the years, and Chris and I were both, you know, kind of interested in I think, you know, a lot of old blues music has influenced both of our own music in different ways over the years, so it was kind of something that we both had a mutual interest in and just tried to do it together and see what we come up with.
Mm-hmm. È stato, dice, un campo di interessi che ha avuto da sempre anche con Chris e che diventa sempre più ampio mano a mano che lo studio, ed è qualcosa che hanno condiviso. Io ero curioso di sapere, Giovanni, anche se in qualche modo i loro studi arrivassero fino alle origini antropologiche ed etnologiche della musica americana, cioè le famose raccolte di registrazioni sul campo che poi fecero partire poi gli studi sul folk americano. I was curious about your interest interest about in this music, does it go till the very first field recordings that actually gave life to those very famous archives and to all the ethnologic and anthropologic study of that kind of rural American songs divided into work songs and religious songs and so on?
I think so. I mean, I've been actually teaching blues history at university, and I've kind of gotten into a little bit more of the anthropological side of it, or just the history of the music. I mean, I'm really mostly interested in the music itself and what's on the recordings. But I think Chris and I both, you know, the way that those musicians played, I mean, they were very idiosyncratic and kind of unique. They all did things differently, and I think that's influenced both Chris and I. You know, we're both musicians who kind of do our own thing and don't so much have one style of doing things, and I think a lot of those old musicians sort of had their own weird ways of doing things, and that's certainly interested us.
Okay, it's maybe also the fact that most of them, if not the totality of them, were self-taught, so they had a very peculiar style that their own, and that's all.
Yeah. I mean, there was no. At that point, the instruments themselves were new. I mean, steel string guitars only started coming out in the 20s, so it was a new instrument, and nobody had, you know, a method to play it. And those guys really invented how to play that instrument. And
okay,
it's really different from nylon string guitars and gut string guitars that came before. It's a whole different sound and a whole different way to play.
Of course,
and I think also from what I know of it, there were certain styles that were very regional, that were very specific, often to a pretty small area, and those areas might have you know, records of this stuff that were really huge hits in the 1920s, you know, like records that sold, you know, 500,000 copies, but it would only be within like one or two states.
Yeah, like, and everybody, every inhabitant actually had one copy of this of this record, something like that.
Yeah. Except they're all gone now.
Of course. Allora, gli ho chiesto appunto a proposito delle origini antropologiche, ha detto sì, sono delle cose che gli interessano, ma poi lui in realtà, Geo Farina, ha insegnato la storia del blues nelle università e quindi gli interessa molto il punto di vista musicale. D'altro canto dice però tutti questi personaggi di cui loro riprendono peraltro le composizioni nei loro dischi, avevano un interesse unico, che era il modo unico in cui suonavano, sia dal punto di vista dello stile, ma anche dal punto di vista proprio della tecnica, e anche dal punto di vista degli strumenti, perché ricordiamo che stiamo parlando degli anni 20, degli anni 30, in cui molti strumenti erano messi a punto proprio come invenzioni in quel momento, e quindi ovviamente tutto era nuovo e tutto diventava unico come stile. Prima di farli suonare c'era ancora un'altra domanda, e mi chiedevo se tutta questa peculiarità di stile come potesse essere tradotta, cioè cercano una loro interpretazione in questi brani oppure cercano di essere philologicamente corretti. You both were talking about the peculiarity of the songs and the styles and the techniques these musicians actually had, and what has to do with your reproposition of that. So you try to song in a very very accurate way in the same, or you adapt the songs to your style and your mood and your way to play your instruments?
Yeah, I think definitely the second one. I mean, we really use that. We do them in a kind of sacrilegious way. I mean, there's a lot of people in the 60s that, you know, whenever they play Blind Blake, it's like, you know, it's always got this, that kind of thing. But when we play it, it's got a totally different feel. And you know, I think that we just have really just taken the songs and used them to kind of almost improvise on them and kind of see what they become. At the same time, like, we like to learn. I mean, I really like to learn what those guitar players played as well and to know it. But I think for when Chris and I get together, especially with two guitars, because it's really hard to do that with two. You know, if you have two guitars playing in that style, it's just so many notes going on. And I think Chris and I try to be sensitive to what the other one is doing. And you
have some common rails to march on or something like that, some guides or something.
Yeah, and maybe one of us will play very minimally when the other one's playing more busy or something like that. And it's you know, I think it's different than the way that these songs were played. But a song like, we're going to do the song that Chris sings that's called Stagger Lee, that's been done in 100 different ways. I mean, it's been done by so many people, you know, everybody from, you know, like Buell Casey to like Nick Drake or something has played that song, or not Nick Drake, Nick Cave. So it's really, those songs, you know, it's really open, I think, for interpretation.
Yeah, I see.
And I think with all this stuff, I mean, I think it would be really stupid for us to try to play it exactly like the originals. And it would be really stupid. I mean, it would be stupid for us to try to sing it like the originals. You know, I mean, part of what's fascinating about some of those records, like Charlie Patton records, where even with a lyric sheet, you could, it's so hard to understand what he's singing. It's like he's singing in a different language or something. And so it doesn't make any sense for me to try to just imitate that. But I think the songs are open-ended enough that we can bring our own personalities to it.
Allora, gli ho chiesto appunto che cosa, come fosse il loro approccio a questi brani, se fosse filologicamente corretto oppure se invece fosse una reinterpretazione. Ha detto chiaramente si tratta di una reinterpretazione, anche perché queste canzoni sono state fatte talmente tanto nel tempo, rifatte talmente da tante persone, che non avrebbe senso essere filologicamente corretti. Aggiungeva Chris, vado un po' a riassumere, che anche cantare nel loro modo sarebbe abbastanza stupido, anche perché, di nuovo, molte volte non si capiscono neanche le parole che vengono dette. Oltretutto, diceva Geoff, il fatto di essere con due chitarre fa sì che per forza di cose ci si debba mettere d'accordo, e quindi essere filologicamente corretti va a scapito poi di una bella esecuzione, nel momento in cui uno ha delle parti molto complicate e l'altro le ha più minimali, in modo tale che le due parti di chitarra possano ben intersecarsi. Ok, after this very long talk in Italian, that is more or less your talk in English, we are ready to listen to the first song of this set. What is the title of the song?
Staggerly.
Staggerly, Geoff Farin and Chris Brocco live at MUPS.